Good morning, church. Kindness. It's the language which the dumb can speak and the deaf can understand. We've been teaching on the character of Jesus over the last month or so in April, understanding about who he is and his attributes. Knowing Jesus and who he is the best thing we can do to help in our walk with God. It helps us having a clear picture of who God is, inspires our praise and worship, and provides us with examples of exactly how we should live. This morning, we're turning our attention to the kindness of Jesus. Jesus' kindness was felt by everybody who came in contact with him. It was attractive. It was off-putting. It was something which was uncommon. Jesus' kindness was something he was the most kind than anyone has ever been. He is and continues to be the most kind that there has ever been. And kindness is this: it's goodness, it's graciousness, it's loving, it's humane, it's courteous. There has never been anyone as kind as Jesus. It translated across cultural, religious, language, and status boundaries. His kindness was so loud, the deaf could hear it. His kindness was so obvious, the blind could see it. But that's not how the world is. We live in a world that is, in fact, the exact opposite of that. We've all experienced ourselves personally, and we can observe globally, the unkindness, the common unkindness that exists within our world. Whether it's out there in the world, celebrities and famous people and all this stuff, and we can see lots of unkindness in that realm and domain, or personally we can experience, as Veronica was saying, in betrayals of friends. We can see it in our families. We can see unkindness, common unkindness in our families, our workplaces, in just every realm of our life. I think, for example, of the most recently of Princess of Wales, Kate, who after a stir that was caused by some dodged photoshopping and some absence from public eye, all of a sudden, lots of unkind things are being said about her, her family, her husband, and lots of unkind assumptions being made about what could possibly be the cause for these few little events. And a mere matter of weeks later, it turns out that she has cancer, and everybody who had been unkind had an opportunity to pause to reflect on their unkindness. Some of whom decided to apologize. Very public figures who made very public statements of unkindness decided to retract them, and many who did the same, who made unkind statements, decided not to. But we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised by such a circumstance like that, such an event where unkindness was on full display globally in everyone's faces. Sin has pervaded us all. It has pervaded humanity since the fall, since the very beginning. And sin causes us to focus on ourselves. It brings about selfishness, conceit, pride, arrogance, a self-serving attitude. And since the fall, sin has reigned in human hearts, and we have seen the side effects of common unkindness in the world. It's not long after the fall we could start to list out many, many of the things that have happened which have been unkind. First and foremost, Cain killed his brother Abel. That's unkind. That's an understatement. Fathers and mothers were unfair and unkind towards their kids. Men and women were abused and abused. Women, mostly, were used for sex. This is very early in human history. Men, women, and children became poor and received no aid. Countries, towns, villages destroyed each other. People became homeless. The sick were cast out. Kindness itself was spurned. Jesus, the most kind, was crucified. But Jesus was different to the world. Jesus was uncommonly kind. Jesus took on the position of the very needy that he came to serve. Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, it tells us that he became poor so that we might become rich in him. This is uncommonly kind. This is who Jesus is. And so we are going to unpack this morning and delve into the depths of just how kind Jesus is. I pray by the end of this message, you will have two things in your mind that will become so crystal clear. Number one, that Jesus has been uncommonly kind to you. And number two, he expects us to be the same. Number one, Jesus has been and continues to be and will forevermore be uncommonly kind towards you. And second, he expects us to follow in his footsteps in that same way. Why don't you turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And we're using this just as a verse to jump off into the deep end into God's loving kindness. Luke 7 and verse 11. Soon afterward, it says, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. In other translations, it could say that he had compassion on her. And he said, "Don't cry." And he went up and he touched the bier or the stretcher they were carrying him on. And the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up, began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And they were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. You see, his kindness was so loud that the deaf could hear it. We're really just using this verse as a springboard. And I want to focus particularly on verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. You know, this lady, who was she? We don't hear about her again. We know nothing of her. Three attributes we know about her. Number one, she's from a town called Nain. Number two, she has one son, and that one son is dead. And number three, she's also a widow. This is all we need to know about her. The Bible is incredibly efficient and wonderful in how it can describe a particular event that's taking place, and there's actually so much that we can learn from it. Jesus on his way into this town. And now the lady is from Nain, but I don't think it's the town of Nain. The town of Nain still exists to this day, and it's a couple of thousand people. It's a tiny village in the very north of Israel, not far from Nazareth. It's in an Arabic-speaking part of Israel. At that time, it's in around the area of Galilee. We don't know anything about this woman except she's obviously mourning her son. Her son who has just died, her only son, and she has a widow, which means, of course, she's also lost her husband. Now, in those days, in Jesus' days, if you had lost your husband, then you were reliant on your kids, in particular your sons, for your income, for your support. Women in those days necessarily didn't have a provision for themselves, a job, or a way of earning an income, at least not a legitimate one, and so they would be reliant on their kids. Now, that's great if you've got lots of kids and they're successful, but unfortunately, if you've got one son and he's dead, you're in deep trouble. In this society, this woman is at severe risk. She is at incredible risk of becoming homeless, of becoming needy, of becoming hungry, of becoming destitute, of potentially having to either remarry for the sake of provision into potentially a marriage that doesn't actually work for her or support her or is used and abused. This lady is on the edge of falling off a cliff. Jesus, of course, knows this. He is on his way somewhere. He is on his way to somewhere. But as he gets to the gate, he observes somebody coming out. It is, of course, by God's great plan and design that Jesus is walking past this woman and is an opportunity for Jesus to display his uncommon kindness. Every other person, there were crowds around this lady and her son. There were crowds with them mourning, but it was the uncommon kindness of Jesus who was able to make a difference in this person's life. A word spoken to a dead man. You see, even Jesus' kindness can be heard by dead people. And he speaks into the dead man's ears and he is made alive again. And I love the fact that it says that Jesus gave him back to his mother. He was being carried on a stretcher. What did he do? Did he lift him up? Did he pull him down off the stretcher? But in some way, he took this man off the stretcher and he said, "Here you are, my lady, your son." And immediately, the woman's life, the woman's future is turned around 180 degrees from being totally in on the edge of a cliff, about to go into being the most needy and helpless person, to having her son back with her again. Now, Jesus didn't help her because she was important in any worldly way. Jesus didn't reach out to her because she had professed profound faith in him, or that she had reached out to him and she had paid him, or there was anything remarkable about her or her son. It was uncommon kindness to a widow who had lost her son. From this passage, we're going to jump off into a few others this morning. And I want to reinforce these two points. Jesus loves the unlovely. He loves the poor. He loves the needy. And he loves the brokenhearted. And number two, Christians, we should be marked by the same kindness. From the story we read, Jesus, he shows his kindness. And his kindness towards her was not unique. He showed kindness to everyone. If you're a publican, tax collector, a prostitute, a Roman authority or centurion, a religious leader, a sick person with a communicable disease, children of all people, fishermen, Jesus was kind to everybody. I heard it said that maybe one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed was that he was still friends with 12 guys who were fickle, terrible friends. That by the end of his ministry, of course, Judas being the exception, he was still managed 3 years of friendship with these 12 blokes who were very ordinary people. That takes uncommon kindness. He was okay with being seen with the needy. Luke 5, verse 27 to 31, we won't read it all, but we read that Jesus goes and calls Levi or Matthew. Levi would be the Hebrew name, Matthew being the Greek name, a tax collector, to be his disciple. And he calls him and he says, "Follow me." And Matthew follows Jesus, immediately gets up from the table and follows Jesus. And we find out that Jesus goes back with Matthew to his house and throws a party. Now, who's at this party? Well, all of Matthew's friends. And of course, Matthew is friends with other tax collectors. He's friends with publicans. He's friends with, we find out that Jesus is seen hanging out with all the list of people that I've just mentioned. Selfishness, pride, arrogance, conceit, these are the ways of the world. trying to protect one's image, trying to do things which are over and above what is actually right and or kind. Protecting oneself, to consider oneself to be, I don't do that sort of thing. I don't hang out with those kind of people. I have a reputation to uphold. You see, that was never a concern for Jesus. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was called for. You see, that was different to the leaders of the day. And it's different from today as well. We find ourselves in tribes. We find ourselves in groups. We don't hang out with those kind of people. We find ourselves oftentimes forming cliques. I don't hang out with people who are of this particular color or that particular race. That is common in our world, isn't it? But that is not the world. That is not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is kindness. The kingdom of God is goodness. Jesus, he didn't just offer spiritual help. In Mark 6, verse 30 to 44, many of you will know the passage. Jesus is feeding the 5,000. Again, we won't read it because it'll take too much time. A large crowd gathers and he is going to teach them. But before he does start to teach them, this large crowd that has gathered to see his miracles and to be healed themselves, it says that he was moved with compassion for them, that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then, on the basis or having felt that compassion, he then goes and teaches them and preaches to them. For the whole day, he is teaching them the word of God. Wouldn't it have been awesome to be on that hill that day, sitting down in the grass, hearing the Lord teach the entire day? It gets to the end of the day, the late afternoon, and Jesus, knowing that they're all humans, says, everybody's hungry, we need to feed them. I love this because Jesus didn't just feed people spiritually. There's something to be said here, church, that actually our Jesus's way, Jesus's kindness, is not just to meet the spiritual needs, but also the physical needs of everyone who came to him. And so he asks his disciples, what do you have to give them to eat? Well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus takes what little provision they had and he multiplies it and feeds 5,000 men, plus women, plus children, 12 baskets of leftovers. An incredible miracle. Somebody took home a basket of leftovers to their family. How good are the parties when you leave with leftovers? 100%. I've never left with a basket before. Looking forward to that one day. You see, his uncommon kindness is not just about meeting a spiritual need, but he meets a physical need as well. Church, I have something to confess to you this morning, that I have in the past focused a lot more of my emphasis on kindness towards spiritual things rather than physical. I have, in my own life at times, thought that the most important thing is that someone would hear the gospel. Their physical needs being met is secondary to that. Now, I still think that that's true. But actually, I have said that or thought that in order to not worry about the physical needs of others. Say, when giving to the poor. Maybe this is like you as well. Maybe you've felt like this in the past as well, or maybe not. Maybe this is just something that I've felt, but I have purposefully, I guess, avoided in some sense the meeting someone's physical needs because I didn't think that there would be an opportunity to meet their spiritual needs. This is backwards. In our world, actually, it needs to go the other way around most of the time. The crowd that joined Jesus on the hill that day came for their physical needs to be met. Their most fundamental physical needs were actually healing from sicknesses. demons being cast out, and their hunger was also met as well. I think Jesus is calling us today to actually meet the physical needs of the people around us as well as sharing the gospel. Jesus didn't just do what he wanted to do, but actually Jesus' kindness showed us who the Father is. In John chapter 14 and verse 8 to 10, Jesus talking to his disciples. Thank God for the disciples who were just very ordinary men. Because Philip, after having spent practically 3 years with Jesus, says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus, despite feeling frustrated, I suspect, replies back to him, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. You see, Jesus' uncommon kindness is exactly who God is. Exactly who God the Father is. Let me bust a myth this morning, church, that the God of the Old Testament is exactly the same as the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is just as compassionate and kind as the God of the New Testament. You may have heard it said, you may, especially people who don't believe, who are not Christians, who don't actually understand the Word of God, you will have heard it said that there's a God in the Old Testament and he focuses on judgment, he focuses on the law, and then Jesus is different in the New Testament. That is not true. They are indeed exactly the same. Jesus is the perfect reflection. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 1, he is the perfect, exact, radiant image of God the Father. His kindness was just exactly doing what God the Father was telling him to do. A.W. Tozer says, if we could remember, and I would encourage you this morning, church, to do this right now, if we could remember that the divine mercy is not a temporary mood, but an attribute of God's eternal being, we would no longer fear that it will someday cease to be. God's kindness is an eternal attribute. His mercy towards you does not change. It has always been and will always be kindness and mercy, goodness and grace. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 7 to 8, just to prove the point one more time, God in his law to the Israelites inscribed, required of them to take care of the needy. So much so that he would even say to them that the land which I'm providing to you should mean that there is no one needy among you. Wow. God was actually providing everything that all of the Israelites would ever need. There should not have ever been a poor person, a homeless person, someone whose needs were never met because his provision was supplied for all. The last component of this point about Jesus being lovely and kind is he displayed his greatest kindness towards us. Romans 2 and verse 4 tells us, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that it's God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Jesus' greatest act of kindness was dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us, undeserving, unlovely, wicked sinners. And yet it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. We were destitute. We were poor in spirit. We are unable to help ourselves. We are enemies of God. We had cursed God. We had run away from Him. We had spurned His kindness. We had chosen lies. We had chosen lust. We had chosen not to believe. We had chosen the ways of the world. And yet, and this is humanity in general and us specifically, and yet God has called you to be His son and daughter. Incredible kindness. To the frightened, He is friendly. To the poor in spirit, He is forgiving. To the ignorant, considerate. To the weak, gentle. To the stranger, hospitable. And Christians, believers this morning, the tall order that is placed upon us is that we should also be marked by the same uncommon kindness. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 to 8. And it writes, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God," listen carefully here, "may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone." You see, on the very basis of God's kindness and mercy shown towards us is the basis with which we then devote ourselves to doing good. Kindness is the pattern that is set out for us. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 and Galatians 2 verse 10, Paul writes that the apostles had said to him in his ministry to focus his attention on the poor, something that he himself was so eager to do. Acts 20 and verse 35 tells us, "In everything I did," and this is Paul speaking, "I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself, what He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You see, kindness is the pattern for every believer. Kindness is the pattern for every believer. James 1 verse 27 tells us that true religion, that is, faithful, that is pure, is looking after widows and orphans. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control." You see, kindness is a hallmark for every believer. Because this is the third point in this. God, uncommon kindness demonstrates that we're God's children. Luke 6, verse 35. An incredible verse. "But love your enemies." This is Jesus preaching to the crowd. "And do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. And it's on that basis that God is our Father and we His children, that we are kind to our enemies, that we are kind to those who are ungrateful. We are kind to those who are unlovely. We are kind to the ungracious. We are kind to the discourteous. We are kind to those who are hateful. We are kind to those who might spite us, because that is how Jesus has treated us. We don't do it because there is a reward, but we do it because He is our reward and Jesus has been kind to us. This is a story of a young lady in another part of the world. I won't bother to say where it's from. You can ask me later. "Enough is enough," she said to herself. "I will not receive the blows with meekness anymore. Tonight, if they begin again, I will tell the guard to his face that he is a criminal." Arrested for her faith, she was kept in a solitary cell, starved and beaten. Still, she had not denied Jesus or revealed the names of other believers. And as so many others, she had patiently suffered for the sake of the gospel. She promised herself that tonight would be different. But that night, when the guard insulted her with foul words and was just about to start beating her, she somehow saw him differently. She noticed for the first time that he was as tired of beating her as she was of being beaten. She was worn out from lack of sleep, and so was he. He was as desperate over not getting any information from her as she was about suffering for refusing to betray her friends. A voice told her, "He is so much like you. You are both caught in the same drama of life. You and your torturers pass through the same veil of tears." She looked up at the guard who had already lifted his whip to beat her, and she smiled. Stunned, he asked, "Why do you smile?" And she replied, "I don't see you the way a mirror would show you right now. I see you as surely you once were a beautiful, innocent child. We are the same age. We might have been playmates. I see you too as I hope you will be. There was once a persecutor worse than you named Saul of Tarsus. He became an apostle and a saint." The torturer put down his whip and she continued, "What burden so weighs on you that it drives you to the madness of beating a person who has done you no harm?" He had no answer. The torturer left that day a changed man. You see, kindness can at times turn away wrath. In this instance, kindness demonstrated that she indeed was a daughter of God. My last point this morning: uncommon kindness goes beyond political affiliation. In our Western culture, left and right side of politics have often been known for who they don't associate with. And let that not be the case for us. Unburdened us to show true love to everyone while upholding the truth of God's word. We should be so hard to place. Looking from the outside at our church, we should be so hard to place on the political spectrum because our values are driven outside of political affiliations. Our kindness goes beyond serving our tribe, but actually serving the lost. Yep. Loving each other and loving those who are poor, needy, and brokenhearted. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. It's his blood availed for me. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful, broken hearts rejoice. The humble, poor believe. Hear him, ye deaf. His praise, ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. Church, if you want to be impactful in this world, if we want to show and demonstrate Christ's love to this earth, it is uncommon kindness that'll do it. It is uncommon kindness that will open the mouths of or close the mouths of the lions. Those who might hate us, those who might speak against us or speak against God, it is uncommon kindness that allows the opportunity for the gospel to be preached. We have so many opportunities in our local church to demonstrate that. Number one, here in this congregation, kindness towards one another. I couldn't go into it, but Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that we are to be kind towards one another. Number two, we can give into Kingdom Advance, which goes towards meeting the needs of people around the world, including immigrants and people trying to flee warfare and persecution. You don't even need to do anything. You don't even need to go anywhere difficult. You can just give in your money to that. Number three, finding a way to be kind to those around you, meeting the physical needs, but as well meeting the spiritual needs of those who you walk and talk with. Being kind in the face of unkindness. Being gracious in the face of hatefulness. Being kind in the face of spitefulness. Loving your enemies and doing good to those who might persecute you. I issue you with one warning this morning, church. And if you make the decision this morning to say, God, I'm encouraged by this. Let your Holy Spirit help me to be more kind. Let me demonstrate your love, Lord Jesus. Help me to be kind like you were kind. If that's your prayer this morning, praise God, because I want that to be your prayer. But let me issue with a warning. You will be tested. You will have something come across your path which will put to the very test at your core how kind you're willing to be in the face of betrayal. And it is at that point that we lean upon Christ and we say, I can be kind because you have been kind. I can be good because you have been good. I can be merciful because you have been merciful. And it is not in our own strength. It's not in our own spirit. It's not because we are good. It's because he is good in us. And his Holy Spirit is quickening us and living on the inside of us to help us to be just who he's called us to be. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning, church. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the kindness that you have shown towards each and every one of us, that we would be blessed to be forgiven, to be saved by your grace as undeserving sinners, that you would send Jesus to die on the cross for us despite our unworthiness of it all. Lord, place upon our hearts a deep sense of just the kindness, the eternal goodness that you show towards us, which will never change. And let that be confidence in our hearts that you are always with us. And let that be a foundation on which we can go out into this world and be kind towards all those who would be come across our path, that it would be an attractive thing, Lord, to lead others to the gospel, to the truth of who you are. Use us, guide us, lead us in your kingdom, my God. We ask this in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen.